Hi, everyone. Welcome to Childcare Inspirations, inspiring early childhood educators and providers through laughter, learning, and connection. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Childcare Inspirations. I'm Tina Gears, owner of Inspired Minds ECC, and I'm here today with some Albertan educators, Shirley and Robin. And today we are going to be talking about how we celebrate holidays and family traditions using the anti-biased approach. And we're just going to hop right into it. Here we go, everyone.
But when we talk about this, typically people talk about holidays and they focus on the holidays. Do we have Christmas? Do we have Easter? Do we have this? Yeah. But the topic is so much broader than whether we have Santa Claus in our playroom, you know, so that documentary, what was it called? It was called Anti-Bias Education in Action, The Early Years. And it really brought out different topics, right? So they had four goals: identity, diversity, justice, and action. And those are the goals that they focused on in this anti-bias. And that is a bigger, broader topic than just, you know, whether we have the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. So it's really good.
I think what it's good to start with, though, is to start with the topic of holidays, because that is, I think, where everyone, when they're converting over to play-based, and especially with an anti-biased approach, that this is a first step of taking.
And I think it might be one of the easier steps, right?
Yeah.
Or the most obvious step, apart from changing some of the environmental stuff, right?
Well, it's the less vague, right? You can point to an Easter Bunny and a Santa Claus and say, I know what that is. But when you talk about justice and fairness and equity, that's a different conversation. So I think the holidays are easier to start with because you can identify them and you are familiar with them.
Yeah. And it's that going from more of a adult directed approach to more child led. It's doing that conversion over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And because, I mean, I remember I started doing holidays just like many other of us, like doing the typical holidays. I started teaching over in Taiwan. So it was Chinese New Year's. And we also celebrated a little bit of Christmas because it was in American schools. So we had a little bit of like a both because of the dynamics of our school.
Yeah.
But we never celebrated anything like Ramadan or Kwanzaa or Holi or any of that. We never even touched upon.
Like we did, looking back at my daycare time, we did a little bit of Kwanzaa. I don't think we ever touched on Ramadan and probably Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. Like those December holidays seem to be more emphasized than, and of course, St. Patrick's Day and Easter and like those.
Yeah. And if you look at through an anti-bias lens, then we have to really reflect on what we're doing and why we're doing it, looking at the purpose and the importance. Are we showing importance to all of them? And are they really reflective of the families?
But I think the resentment or the resistance is, I was talking about this to a couple colleagues at work because I said, okay, I'm doing this. What do you think? Tell me what you think. Tell me what you're doing. Like, where do you stand on this? And I think the sort of defensiveness is that they think they're being told you can't do a Christmas or you can't do Easter and you can't do Valentine's. You're not allowed. And I think that's when people start going, well, then I'm not on board with that. You know, I want to celebrate these traditions as well as other traditions, but you can't do everything. You cannot do every holiday that's mapped out on the planet in 1 year in a playroom. So then it becomes a matter of, you know, what are the traditions of the people in your room and the families in your room and of your center and your city and your, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think people resist it because I think they're being told no.
And anytime someone's being told no, especially when it goes against your personal beliefs and values, and if it's something really that you value and that you celebrate, it's a big deal in your family and your family culture and traditions, then I think it's almost natural reaction for us to kind of get our defenses up. But I was listening to that early childhood nerd on Holiday Crafts with Don Hodgins and Lisa Murphy.
Yeah.
And I love how he said, like, it's the excuses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a bunch of those. And how can we overcome this? Like, how can we drop down those barriers and not take things as personal attacks?
I think that, you know, like when you talk about flight and stuff, when you talk about communities and families and building relationships, that's where it's not a personal attack. I'm building a relationship with the kids in my room, the families in my room, and the other educators in my center, or the other fellow day home operators that I know, or, you know, you build this community, and in that you kind of develop your planning and you develop what's relevant for your group. And year to year, it's not going to be the same. And I think that's what he was talking about, is you can't plan the same Christmas craft, you know, he called it something other than a craft, but, you know, you can't plan the same one every year for every different group, because it's not going to be relevant for every group. So you need to build those relationships and then build your program from those relationships rather than from the book you got at the library.
Yeah. And really looking at however, I really like this perspective of how do the families celebrate the holidays that are important to them?
Yeah.
Because being a Ukrainian, I don't celebrate Ukrainian Christmas the same as every other Ukrainian. Maybe growing up, I had maybe a few more traditional aspects, but, you know, we did the feasts and everything, but I don't remember that specifically as a child. What I remember is getting together with family, lots of food, lots of laughter. And maybe that's where we can talk about it more, is the holidays should be more about the relationships, about love, about that feeling of sense of belonging.
Yeah.
And see how, okay, if you don't celebrate that, like if you don't celebrate Ukrainian Christmas and I do, well, let's talk about where some other things that we do that are similar. Well, we do that at this holiday for us. And we'll tell us about that, right? Having that discussion.
But I think that's where the good intent, we were talking about themes last time, and the good intent of Christmas around the world kind of is an idea that people try to say, okay, we'll incorporate a bunch of things. But again, if those sort of thematic things that you picked weren't relevant to the families that you're serving, then they're not necessarily ones that I would think you'd want to do. So I think you got to be careful to get away from the, we're just going to celebrate every culture all the time, regardless of whether it's relevant or not, than if you're just going on what the families are telling you.
Yep. See, and that's what I've done the last couple of years. I'd say probably the last 5 or 6, maybe, knowing my family's cultural backgrounds, because I have had all Caucasian families, it gets a little harder to, you know, instead of doing, because I did, my first half of my career was Christmas around the world for all of December.
Exactly. Right?
Weeks of it. And this time, though, I've had actually, out of the 4 families I have right now, I've had 2 7 and 8 years. So my group hasn't changed tremendously. But ironically, they all have very similar cultural backgrounds. Yeah. So two of my families and myself, my family, or at least for myself, grew up doing St. Nicholas Day. And they still, the two families still celebrate St. Nicholas Day. So every, the last few years, I've bought the chocolate initial for every child and an orange, because that's what, you know, and, you know, to bring in that kind of thing, because I know that they do that. I know that all of them decorate gingerbread houses at Christmas. So we do that as a group. And I got a little bit of pushback on that a couple of years ago. Somebody asked me if I thought that that took away from their family tradition.
Oh, maybe.
And I thought about it, and I actually asked my families, and they're like, no, we don't care. Do
I
it.
Feel
it's
that a way tradition. About the elf.
It's a tradition for your day home. Like, if you want to do a gingerbread house with the kids, like, go for it.
Yeah. I feel about the elf in group care. I don't think we should have an elf in group care. That's a home thing. They do it at home. They have their own rules for the elf and they do certain things with the elf. And so either you love it or you hate it. But I find I always resent it a little bit in my playroom at work because I feel like I'm, as a parent, if I tell them something different with my elf and then they go home and they say something else, like you're kind of ruining that. Or like the elf at home doesn't move during the day, but I move mine at snack time or nap time. And then it did move. And well, how come the elf moved? And we had kids this year that somebody touched the elf. And then the argument went rampant in my room about he had to go back to the North Pole and he had to get more magic and he had to do this. And he had to, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Like it exploded on us. But I thought I really think that's a home tradition, and I don't think that that's something we need to take. I don't think we need to take everything from home and bring it into the center and recreate it. You could talk about the elf and tell me about your elf and draw a picture about your elf or tell me what he did today or keep a chart of which elves were awake and asleep or, you know, like whatever, like do it that way. But I don't think we need to copy what they do at home.
And that's when a good time is to talk to your families. And if you're not, remember, if we're not comfortable doing something, then children are going to feel that too, right?
Yeah, totally.
They're going to feel that energy. And yeah, that was absolutely one of the comments that I remember reading in the articles that we were looking at is holidays as home time.
Yeah.
Some holidays might be like a home time thing, and that whether, no matter how you bring in the holidays, it's important to assess, why are you bringing it in? What is the purpose of it? And what is the meaning to the families? Like, what is the meaning to the child? And is it relevant to them?
What I've done, and I think it's a little trickier with home-based care, right? Because like you just said, we have our own stuff that we do for holidays, whether it's Christmas or whatever. Christmas is typically the only one I decorate for. But I think it's a lot harder to, if we were to go to a full elimination. I do know some day homes that don't do any holidays at all. Yep. What I've chosen to do, only because in the last two Christmases, I've had a child with some sensory struggles. And the first Christmas noticed a lot of increase from some of the lights and things like that. And even before that child started with me, I decided that they get enough of that overwhelmed feeling out and about in the community, in their own home. So I don't decorate the downstairs. I found it made a huge difference. Like seeing the behavior that I saw upstairs was gone when we came downstairs.
Yeah. It's that overstimulation. Like there's a lot of changes. Like when families, when it's like for our family, like Halloween threw up in our house every single year. We loved it. I mean, we had the haunted house, my house. The dry ice, but to replicate that in a classroom or a day home, that might be too much. And some families and some cultures don't celebrate Halloween. Some think it's offensive. So, but it can absolutely be overstimulating because there's all this prep and hype and, you know, anxiety attached at the home or making sure you have all the right decorations and you have this and this is done. And it's too much for the children.
Yeah.
It's just too much sometimes for them. And we need to be respectful of that.
But even like Valentine's Day is an example. In our room, we have lovely parents, but we had a range of stress levels about Valentine's Day and Valentine's that I kept trying to say, it's okay. Right? It's okay. Yep. It doesn't have to be everything. You don't even have to bring anything. You don't have to. And we added they had to bring it in advance so we could quarantine it, kind of a thing because of COVID. Yep. So we had to do that. But like we had some that made a whole century bag with sand and dinosaurs and stuff, and some that were homemade painted hearts from the kid, you know, but it was such a range of levels, and the parents, some of them were so concerned and so worried about, is this okay? Is this a good enough Valentine? Is there enough? Do I do this? Do I do that? And I kept thinking, this is not necessary. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be stressful.
I think I said to my families both last year and this year, if you want to bring something, feel free, but you do not have to.
Think they don't have to, or do they still feel like they have to? Because we said the same thing. We said, you don't have to. This is not a requirement. It's not mandatory. Yeah. But they all went, no, I have to.
Right. Well, I think the two families that brought Valentine's for the kids to give to each other, they both had children in school.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that pressure from school trickled down. I didn't actually ask. I know for the one family, I know it did. But for the other family, I think they just, you know, but yeah, no, I don't push the holidays. Like I said, if they want to bring something.
But flip it around. What if you said, okay, no Valentine's Day. We're not doing this. And somebody wanted to then, you know, you're not really being inclusive of them. If you're kind of ban it all together and say,
yeah,
we don't do anything. We can't do anything. You can't wear red. You can't have a
don't
heart.
Talk about it. Don't look at it.
You know, like, well, I don't think that's being inclusive either.
Yeah. I had a family. Probably I'd only been operating 3 years, maybe. And they didn't do holidays, like any. They didn't even want their kids dressing up in dress-up clothes because it was a costume.
Yep.
And they didn't last with me. Not my choice. But it was really, that was kind of the first time I had been confronted with a family that didn't celebrate. Not just Christmas. Like I'd had classrooms where certain families didn't celebrate Christmas only, but not everything.
Yeah, there are some cultures and religions and traditions that, you know, birthdays, nothing that puts extravagance on your lifestyle.
Birthdays, they didn't. It was so, it was probably the first time I really sat down to think about why I did what I did. And I'm still thinking, like, it's one of those topics that I'm always reflecting
last
on.
Last year was the first year I was told I couldn't do Canada Day, and I wasn't allowed to do Canada Day. And I was actually really it might have had fallout from all the stuff that was happening politically in the world, right? But I remember thinking to myself, oh, that really bugged me. And why did that bug me? Why is this something that triggered in me as a teacher? I love sharing Canadian pride with the kids in my room. I like hanging a flag. I like doing stuff. And, you know, I'm proud to live in this country. And I was really more offended than I thought I maybe ought to have been in that situation. But it made me question, you know, what do the families think of this day? What do they like to celebrate? Maybe they have just as strong attachments to their own individual holidays, and maybe they get offended if I do it wrong. Or, you know, it started all those conversations in my head going, if that's how I reacted for a holiday that is relevant to me, people will react the same to their own relevant holidays, right? So it was curious to me anyway.
And what about bringing it? We talk about the, you know, about the families, but what about the children? Children under, you know, six, they view holidays very, very differently.
Yes,
absolutely.
So that's essentially who we're caring for, are these younger children, and we want to bring in the families. And we also want to look at it from this perspective of the children, like what is important to them. They might not see things in the same perspective as adults and what we see it. Like they might say, oh, I love the sounds, or I like that I get to see my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're bringing in holidays, whether they're, you know, seasonal based, whether they're national based, religious based, are we bringing in from the perspective of the child and from the stories of the children?
One of the articles, and I'm sorry, I didn't write down which one it was, but one of the ones you had sent me that we read said they don't do holidays, they do traditions. And I that flipped in my brain. I thought, I really like that. What are traditions? And so maybe fireworks at New Year's is a tradition. Great, go ahead. You know, like whatever the traditions that you want to celebrate, and some of them may be non-holiday related traditions. Yeah. They may be things that you do for a fall, or they may be things that you do for nothing, just a tradition when somebody learns to write their name, we do this, or they have one where you learn to zip your coat, you put a bell on the zipper, hey, you zipped your coat. And, you know, there's a variety of things you could call a tradition that you celebrate and that you do in your space. And if you focus on the tradition aspect, it gets rid of maybe kind of all the Hallmark aspect of it.
Yeah. And the commercialization, that's one thing that bothers me about calendar holidays, is the commercialization of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, for me, I don't celebrate Valentine's. It's the commercialization of it. It's love, and love should be celebrated for me all the time. And there's, this is a great time to talk about the diversities of love, and that it doesn't matter of your gender, of your family structure, love is love. Right. And you can love people differently. So I've never been one of the commercial hearts, gifts, flowers, chocolate during Valentine's, but I am more aware of the people in my life and my relationship with them and the love I have for them. And that's tended to be what I did during Valentine's. That's what I brought into my program, is I generally tried to bring in more talking about love in general, like how do you love your pet and how do you show love to your pet?
We did kindness, same kind of thing.
Yeah, right? kindness. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing with holidays is most of the time, at least from what I've noticed, the children don't talk about it until after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, I got two in my group right now that are still singing Jingle Bells.
We trick-or-treated the other day. We had every piece of little Lego in every bin in all of our room, and it was crazy, but they were so engaged in this trick-or-treating episode that they decided to do. We just stood back and went, okay, we'll clean it up later. And we let them do it, because it was so great to see them trick-or-treating, you know, in February.
Infants and toddlers, they have no freaking clue what we're talking about.
And I have two of them. So, you know, how do I, for lack of a better phrase, do holidays with two under two who could care less?
And do you really need to? That's what we need.
And do I need to?
Do we really need to?
No. I mean, yes, they get really excited with the lights and the, you know, and the feel of the tree, because they go at the tree 100 times a day.
Somebody said as a strategy in a workshop I was in that they take a piece of paper and they write the month, and then they write everything that they associate with the month, like in the world. And it could be we buy school supplies because it's September, or it could be a holiday, or it could be a tradition, or it could be they go somewhere, or it could be whatever. And then they looked at those month maps of this is what that month means in my world. Or maybe you get new toys every April or something, and you bring new toys in, or, you know, whatever the thing was for the month. And then they looked at those month maps and said, okay, what from here is important to my kids now? What am I going to do? And they go, oh, it's really important that we get new library books, or we get new whatever. So let's focus on that. And we're going to focus on reading and books and whatever, because it's what's important in that month. So they would do a month map for everything and help themselves focus. It wasn't public. It wasn't for the parents. It was for themselves, but to help them focus on what they wanted to kind of go with in their planning process.
I've never heard of that. That's kind of a neat
concept. Very cool. I know that the other day, in fact, when we didn't have snow, we have snow again, but when we didn't have any snow, one of the older ones in my program asked if it was spring yet. And I said, well, hopefully soon. But I said, probably not for a little bit, but I said, what's one of the things that we do in the day home? And I didn't think any of them would remember. But the one surprised me, and he said, well, that's when you get the butterflies.
That's a great tradition.
I do the butterfly. I have to pre-order mine. Mm-hmm. But this will be, I think this is my seventh year. Sixth or seventh. But I'm a little surprised that this little guy remembered. Because he's been here for two. He's been here for 2 years that we've done it. But he's not even five yet. So... Yeah.
But going off that, you could flip that into map. You could say, okay, spring, what do you guys know about spring? What do we think about spring? What does spring mean? How do we know it's spring? How do you see spring? And make your little mind map from that and go, okay, this is what we're going to focus on, because this is what it means to them. You know, you can bring it down to the children's level in a way and kind of just be like, what do you know about spring? Because you brought it up. So let's talk about it.
Well,
you know?
And we did actually build on that a little bit. And this little guy, for him, he knows that once all the snow is gone, they're moving.
That's important.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, a parent goes and works lots, because that's just the time of year for daddy's work.
that's making connections between these holiday events and calendar events to things that are relevant for the children and right?
Yeah.
What about, the upcoming, the gender holidays, like Mother's Day and Father's Day? Let's chat about that.
I changed my mind. Okay. I was going to say, I was going to say, it's a culture holiday we celebrate. It's important. As a mom, I like getting Mother's Day crafts and all that kind of stuff. I had all that noise in my head about it. And then I read all these articles and I watched the documentary and I sat there and thought, and part of the documentary near the end is a teacher and she's talking to them about boys and girls and what are boys and girls and whatever. And the kids themselves are like, or you could be non-binary or you could be no boy or no girl, or you could be, and the kids are having this conversation. And when the teacher reflected after, she said, that's not what I expected. I didn't expect these young 3 and 4 year olds to have the perspective that they had on what I thought was an adult concept. And then she had to reframe that it's not an adult concept to them. To them, they have an understanding. But then you flip it to Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I've always struggled because we have families of all makes. We have grandparents. We have 2 moms. We have 2 dads. We have, you know, ones that have like 4 or 5 people they call parents. You know what I mean? Like we have makes and models of tons of different families. So how do you do a Mother's Day and a Father's Day? Last year, we did a cookbook, and we called it To Someone Special. Give it to who you want to give to. And I probably wouldn't even have done that, but you kind of felt like you had to do something. Because everybody in the center is doing something. So you kind of feel like you have to, right? Yeah. But the families loved the cookbook and they would send me photos of stuff that they made. And, oh, we made the granola bars or, you know, like whatever, that kind of stuff. But I try and stay away from mother and father because I don't think it fits in our current world. I don't think it fits in our current climate. And again, it's kind of a home tradition. If you want to do that at home with your family, that's fantastic for you. But I don't think it has to be at the center.
I've done Mother's Day, Father's Day forever. But I did pastries for parents.
Oh, I like that.
And I picked a day between Father's Day and Mother's Day. I think I actually did it in the summer because at the time I had a family, a blended family. And there were, if I would have done a gift for Mother's Day, Father's Day, it would have been 6 sets.
Yeah.
Because it was a big blended family. And I had also been made aware of Step-Parent Day, which is in September.
Is that a thing? I didn't even know.
Yeah.
It's there's a thing for everything now.
There's a thing for everything, but yeah, it's in September. And so I had picked a date, I think it was July, and I just did pastries for parents and bought some pastry and, you know,
and that becomes your tradition. And that's great, right? Like to make your own. And I think we've kind of danced around it a little bit, but the idea is, do everything we do and celebrate at home need to come into childcare? You know, there's a lot of things, Tina has said it, you know, that's a home thing. A lot of things we do at home, we can recognize it and honor it and talk about it and acknowledge it. But do we really have to recreate? Because I'm pretty sure that 3-year-old dad is buying mom a gift from that child. You know, like I'm pretty sure dad is taking it or he's in trouble, but he's doing it, right? Like, do we need to make the gift at childcare? Is that why? Do we need to have that? Is it because it comes from school and they do it at school? Is it? But I don't see that we have to recreate everything that happens in the home environment, in our environment.
Yeah, I'm curious where that kind of started.
Yeah.
In childcare specifically, because even in school, like my girls are older, they're high school and middle school now, but I think they made me gifts and my husband gifts for 2 years, like maybe for sure kindergarten and maybe grade 1 or 2.
And with nothing my kids, it depended on the teacher. One year they would do it, one year they wouldn't, one year, you know, whatever. It depended on if the teacher got gung-ho on a project, right?
But I think it's one of those things in childcare that's definitely an adult expectation.
Yes.
Right? Like, we do it because we've always done, and it's one of those two. We've done it, we do it because we've always done it.
Well, has any child come to you and said, excuse me, miss, I need to make a Mother's Day present for my mom? Probably not, because they're going to.
No, but I have had kids say they want to make a birthday card.
Yes, I have too.
But not Mother's Day.
They made birthday cards. They make birthday cards all the time, even if it's not really a birthday. They just like make birthday cards.
They just want to make something.
Yeah.
And that I don't even question. I just do it, right? But I've really, the last probably 4 or 5 years, I've been rethinking But I like your comment, Robin, about some things. Does it have to come into the program?
I like the idea of creating your own classroom or day home traditions, that it doesn't have to fall even around another event to, you know, to substitute for it. Like, we don't have to, we shouldn't feel like we have to substitute something.
Right.
We're doing it because we think the children are going to like it. They've asked for it. It's going to become now a program tradition. Well, and it's going to look different every year.
You end up in a conflict when you talk about the emerging curriculums and you talk about flight, you talk about following their interests, and you talk about being fluid and flexible. If I'm planning in February what I'm going to do for Mother's Day in May, you know, that's not exactly going along the same line of being fluid and flexible that we're talking about. You know, if we're changing our mind with how we're creating and structuring our programs, we also have to look at the holidays and say, does this fit still? And maybe it was relevant in the past, or maybe it was relevant with past teachings, but is it currently relevant in how we're programming today and what we're trying to do? We're trying to kind of do something not really new, because it's been around forever, but maybe for some people it feels new. And does this fit in, and is this relevant, and should we still be doing that?
Yeah absolutely. For me, it's a change of perspective, but I feel more comfortable. Like, not doing not doing all these
way less stress
holidays and making sure that I'm not offending everyone. Well, just do our own classroom traditions. And like you said, leave those at home. And if it's something really important, then we'll really individualize it. We'll make sure it's relevant for the families.
Yeah.
And what's important to the children and what do they see?
And to the teacher, don't forget the teacher, the educator. Yeah. Your cultural values are important to bring to your room too. And I think a lot of times we're like, oh, well, I can't put what I do. So maybe I celebrate, like you said, decorating Christmas or some other example. But if you have that, you can share that too, because your interest and your values and your cultures and your traditions are still important to bring to the playroom as much as it is the families as well.
You're the school family. You're part of that school family, that care family. Ooh, I like that. Care family.
Care family. That's a good, like, I know. Of course, counting down to something like Christmas, right? That's a big deal for a lot of kids. They, you know, they have their three of my big ones this year were super excited because they had their advent calendars at home, right? Their chocolate calendars at home.
Yes, that they had some of those too.
Pick from. And every year for, I think I just finished, is this year eight? I think year eight. I do a book countdown. So I pick a couple of, or usually one for my kid, my own kids, it was two, one for each kid. But for the day home, I just do one book and I wrap one for every day that we have together before Christmas. And we unwrap it. We take turns unwrapping it. And the kids know those are books that stay at the center. They're not going home. You know, we have that discussion. Yeah. And I mean, I don't buy new, well, I do buy new books every year, but
of course we do.
Yes, I have. It's just what we do. I tell myself every year I won't. I have enough Christmas themed books.
Are they all, that's the other thing we can look at that. Okay, so that's your practice. Are they all Christmas related, or can you diversify the topics of those books and they're just simply a new book?
I could. That would be one. Yeah, they are. The previous to now, it has been all Christmas related, but not all Santa related. Yes. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like there's one in there that's about a little bear. I can't remember. I think it's called Sparkle Bear, where he's trying to figure out a gift to gift his mom.
Mm-hmm.
So Santa's not part of it at all. It's just about gift giving. You know, books like that. There's a few about Santa, but nothing, you know.
What if we reframe it, right? Instead of celebrating a holiday, how do we honor or recognize a holiday? Let's talk about it and recognize it. And, you know, let's talk about your countdown. Hey, do you want a countdown on the chalkboard? Or, you know, like, build upon what they're bringing to you rather than I need to celebrate Christmas and I need to put Santa everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would do things like, what is it? The lost mitten?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, I would bring in winter books. I think I would look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we got to look at the reason why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And what is the value to the children, and what is the meaning to the children, and are we being inclusive?
One of the educators I was talking to the other day at work, she said, because I like it and it's fun for me and I matter too. And that was sort of what I got from it. I thought, okay, well, fair enough. But it's, you know, how do you fit that into? It's kind of a weird fence to stand on both sides of, right?
Yeah.
Yes, your interests matter, but yes, you need to follow the relevancy of your group and your kids and your families and your room. So it's kind of weird to navigate both of those things.
And it's bringing,
I think it's a bit of a, like, oh, you almost have to build a bridge between that child-led and emergent, because emergent curriculum takes into consideration the educator's interests or like that sort of thing, right? Along yeah. with the children.
I think it comes down to, though, in the documentary that you shared, one of the lines, I'm going to get wrong, I can't quote it directly, but she basically said it's about the educator being comfortable with themselves in order to be comfortable being with these children and sharing with these children and sharing things. Uncomfortable, then you're not going to be able to be authentically yeah. sharing with the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that one. Well, hopefully this has been some good conversation.
Making me think.
It does. And that, I think that's the nice thing about us getting together. Right. And that's how we move forward. And that's how we improve as educators, is reflecting on our practices and asking ourselves, okay, why am I doing this? Why is it important to the children? Why is it important to families? Why is it important to me? Why is it important to my culture I'm creating? Looking at your own biases and going, oh, I didn't even recognize that. Being aware.
I think it's the terminology. As soon as you say biases, people get defensive and people get upset. If you had a different word, if you said my own, you know, thought process or something, people probably wouldn't be as upset about it. They get really offended when you're like, when you say, oh, we're talking about anti-bias. And they're like, well, you know, people get really upset about it. And I was guilty of the same thing. I was like, oh, I don't know. And I had to really read and listen to think about it more on a bigger scale before I had to think about, okay, what do I do and why do I do it? And why is this important? And, you know, and you talk about culture, but it's I don't call my room a classroom, but the classroom culture, right? Like, you know, the culture in your group at the time, and acknowledging it's going to change as the families and the children change. It's not going to be the same things all the time. So you have to constantly be evolving and be accepting of different things, adding to your program and adding to your day, because it's the culture of what you're living now. And maybe that's what's hard for people, because it's so unpredictable.
And change is hard. Because it will, you need to practice it. You need to test it. You need to try it. You need to find your flow with how it works.
And I think those of us who are on that journey, and it is a journey,
yes,
will be willing to switch back and forth versus we've done it this way all the time. Why do we change now?
Absolutely.
One of the other things I got from that documentary was they were talking about, it's about the children being curious and understanding the world around them, understanding the people around them, and understanding their educators, who they spend a lot of time with. And okay. if you focus on the understanding how they understand that world, then maybe you can make choices that sort of are more relevant to them. And that was a bit of an aha moment. I listened to that statement and I thought, oh, do I often think about how this is relevant to the kids? And you kind of touched on that before, right? Like, do the kids really know what you're talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, that's what I'll take forward. And I have to really work with that a little bit and see where that sits with me and how I develop that. But it definitely is something that has made me think.
I like that too. Well, thank you very much, Carly and Robin, for joining me again for another wonderful podcast episode. For all our listeners, thank you for joining us. I hope to hear from you on my Facebook page, Inspired Minds ECC, where we will add this to our Facebook posts and put a little chat, as well as we're going to put the links to all the documents and all the articles and the video that we talked about here today. Thanks so much, everyone. Have yourself a wonderful day and have a sunshine day.